Alright, guys, on the Two Threats Radio, fighting the good fight. This is your host, Charlie Giuliani. Got a great guest lined up today, coming up after the first break in just a few minutes here. Chalmers Johnson. Many of you might know him from his book, Blowback, The Costs and Consequences of the American Empire. Or else The Sorrows of Empire, Militarism, Secrecy, and the End of the Republic. He's got a new book out, Nemesis, The Last Days of the American Republic. He's a professor at University of California in San Diego, and he'll be coming on again in just a few moments. Very interesting guy. His books are fantastic. He basically leaves no stone unturned. I mean, he covers the whole gamut. He talks about Project the New American Century and their desire for a new Pearl Harbor type event. We'll be talking about that. Staging phony crises to get us involved in war so they can engage in their outright imperialism while selling the spreading of freedom and democracy as the reason for their war games. Total fraud. So, it's a wonder the man still has a job in mainstream academia. So, again, we'll be bringing him up in just a few. He was gracious enough to give me the full 2 hours, which I was very surprised. You know, usually high-profile people like that, professors, you know, you can only squeak a half hour, or sometimes not even that much out of them. But he's definitely given me the full 2 hours. That's great. Looking forward to that. Before bringing him on, before we go to our first break, go over the usual quick announcements. Once again, guys, the phone numbers to call to show your support for Ed and Elaine Brown, and I do hope you are doing that. And, you know, not just once. Call them every day. Remind them that they're under the spotlight, that little brother is watching big brother, and that you're expecting them to do their job and protect these people from the federal thugs. And you can do that by calling the governor, 603-271-2121, the sheriff, 603-863-4200, county commissioner, 603-863-2560. A reminder, still offering Aaron Russo's DVD, Freedom of Fascism. You can get that from republicbroadcasting.org through PayPal or by sending your check or money order for $19.95 plus $4.95 shipping and handling to RBN's office. Note the new street address, 2251 Double Creek Boulevard, number 302. Again, that's 2251 Double Creek Boulevard, number 302. Still in Round Rock, Texas, 78664. And once again, guys, you want to check out our website for Truth Hurts. It's truthhurts.com, H-E-R-T-Z. The email address, want to send me some comments, positive, negative, suggestions, whatever, that's truthhurtsradio@aol.com, H-E-R-T-Z, once again. If you're interested in getting any of my books, Piercing the Fog of 9/11, The New World Disorder, and to date, I've got now three of my religious books I wrote back when I was a theology major, one of which got me fired. It's a book called Who is God? Uncover the greatest conspiracy in the history of Christianity, the biggest scam of them all, the mother of all lies and frauds that will get you fired and or disfellowshipped or excommunicated if you even hint you're not going along with this scam. But study into it enough to know the ins and outs of it, and you'll be amazed how easily you can back the most learned theologians into a corner and watch them tremble and probably suffer a heart attack because they can't answer your questions, especially if you corner them in public. It's kind of fun, actually. You might want to try it sometime. Read my book, Who is God? And then consult your pastor. Watch how quick he'll call the thunderbolts from heaven upon your head for daring to question the sacred, untouchable pillar of the Christian faith. Anyway, guys, we got a break here. Stick with us. We'll be right back with Chalmers Johnson. You don't want to miss this, guys. This is going to be a very interesting interview. Again, professor from University of California, San Diego. I just heard the jingle. I guess they hit the button by accident. I thought we were actually going into the break right away. anyway, I forgot to tell you how to get my books. Go to lulu.com. That's L-U-L-U.com. And the best way to find them, to get them all up on one page, is simply search by name. Just type my name in the little search window there. Charles Giuliani, that's G-I-U-L-I-A-N-I. Okay, here comes the break. Stick with us, folks. Be right back with Chalmers Johnson.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F. 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years, with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits, no increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting...
Hey, welcome back to Truth Hurts Radio. It's your host, Charlie Giuliani. We've got our guest on the line, Chalmers Johnson, again, professor at University of California in San Diego, author of numerous books. His latest one, Nemesis, The Last Days of the American Republic. Well, we can only hope that's not the case, but at the same time, we don't want this so-called republic to continue if it's going to continue to rape and pillage the planet. Let's hope that we can keep this country alive, but restore it back to the original constitutionally mandated form of government that we're supposed to have in this country. Anyway, with no further ado, let's welcome Chalmers Johnson. Welcome to the show, sir.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, great to have you on. I tell you, I haven't read your latest one yet, Nemesis.
Yes.
But I've read Sorrows of Empire and Blowback and just great pieces of work. I mean, you don't pull any punches. You strip the facade away. And
thank you.
After reading those books, you just can't possibly believe the big one anymore. You can't.
Well, I'm not trying to exaggerate or to be alarmist or just to sell books. The truth of the matter is we face very serious conditions in this country right now. If there's any one thing that history tells us, it is that the combination of a domestic democracy and a foreign empire is hopelessly unstable. You can have one or the other, democracy or imperialism, but you can't have both. And that's the configuration of the United States today.
Yeah. And so when they talk about democracy, they're just giving us a whole lot of lip service, aren't they?
Well, not necessarily. We do have self-government in this country. There is, it's certainly been eroded, but the government still, at least in theory, governs through consent of the people. But it's certainly weakened, and what is weakening it is our commitments to empire and its inescapable accompaniment, namely militarism.
You know, you raised a good point. Arguably, you could still call this a democracy, quote unquote.
Yes.
But a democracy run by a dumbed-down populace, it's a scary thing, isn't
well,
it?
Well, that's a scary thing. If democracy means anything at all, it means that public opinion matters. There is it's hard to say precisely how public opinion matters in America today, since there is so much secrecy in the executive branch of our government. The 40% of every tax dollar goes for the military in one way or another today, and much of that is surrounded with secrecy. Any citizen, any member of Congress that really tried to do effective oversight on our military establishment simply would be frustrated. It's not possible to do it. You can't get the data.
Yeah, we're seeing the fulfillment of the warning that was given to us by Eisenhower, aren't we?
Absolutely.
Told them
absolutely. It was a strong, strident statement. Now, in 1961, as he was leaving office, he had created the military-industrial complex, and he was warning against it then that it was out of control. We didn't pay attention, and we're now reaping the tremendous costs and dangers. And that's all I'm trying to do in these three books is to warn the American public about what they may be about to lose. And
if they lose it,
they're not going to get it back.
Yeah, Truman did the same thing. You know, he started the CIA, and then years later, he talked about, you know,
yes,
his regrets that it was just out of control. And of course, the CIA is kind of the right arm of the military, part of the same...
Well, it is, above all, the private army of the president that is accountable to nobody but the president. It is very similar to the Praetorian Guards of the old Roman emperors, every president gets told that he has the unaccountable power to overthrow foreign governments, rig foreign elections, assassinate people, and often have done it. No president since Truman, since the CIA was created, has ever failed to use these powers, and we get daily evidence of the excesses of the CIA. It has almost no success stories, but it has plenty of bungled operations that continue to haunt us.
And, you know, this is something else that a lot of people aren't aware of, but, you know, we have never actually been in a war since World War II, a real, legitimate, legal war. That's the last time.
Well, in the sense of the Declaration of War, yes.
Yeah, and yet we've been deploying troops and engaging in warfare dozens of times around the world ever since, and it's all been, quote, I mean, illegal.
It's certainly not been constitutional, and that's
right.
What we're talking about today, that if you believe the government in Washington, D.C. today bears any resemblance to the one outlined in the Constitution of 1787, well, the burden of proof is on you.
They're
simply, it's very, very hard to imagine any president of either party standing up to the vested interests of the military-industrial complex, the secret intelligence agencies, there are 16 of them, or the vested interests of the military establishment in general.
Are there 16? Wow, I guess I lost count.
Yes, there are.
Wow. And boy, we really need them. They've done so much good for us, haven't they?
Well, that's what the word blowback means. It's a CIA term. It was first used in the after-action report on our first ever overthrow of a foreign democratically elected government, that of Iran, in 1953, which we overthrew on the for the interests of the British Petroleum Company. We tried to pretend that Mossadegh was a communist. The Pope would have been a better candidate. He was simply trying to regain control over his nation's assets from extremely exploitative Anglo-Iranian oil company that is today British Petroleum. The and in which the agency operatives wrote, we're going to get some blowback from this. Blowback doesn't just mean retaliation for things we have done abroad. It means retaliation for crimes committed in other people's countries, which were kept totally secret from the American public, so that when the retaliation comes, as on September 11th, 2001, in perhaps the most famous case of blowback now, the public is not able to put it in context to see cause and effect. They tend to lash out at whoever they think might be the perpetrator. This usually leads to simply further cycles of blowback. These are becoming more and more serious all the time.
Did you catch, I'm sure you caught this, I think it was on Sunday, Bush now declares that he does not, just like Cheney has already done, that he does not have to reveal anything regarding national security matters. He can keep that totally under wraps. And
well, these are the anti-constitutional attitudes of our executive branch today. This is exactly what militarism in the service of imperialism tends to create. I mean, the president goes around saying, I am the decider. I can't think of a more anti-constitutional remark than that. Our constitutional theory is based on the idea that there's not going to be any single decider, that we have divided the government between three, and it's important to stress, co-equal branches, and that the task of government is for leaders of these various branches to learn how to compromise with each other. This is done in order to prevent the rise of concentration of power that can lead to dictatorship or tyranny. The president has been flouting this right and left. Now he does it again, claiming that you want to say, what planet are you from? that he's simply no longer constrained by the Constitution. Well, the Constitution doesn't ever give him that power any more than it gives him the power that he has usurped, the so-called signing statements, in which he signs a law enacted by both houses of Congress, but adds a piece of paper to it saying, I don't agree with this or that section and do not intend to enforce the law. Well, now this adds up to something illegal, namely a line item veto, and there's nowhere is the president given this authority to ignore laws enacted by Congress.
And he signed more of those than all previous presidents combined.
By certain orders of magnitude.
Yeah.
That after 9/11, Congress gave him new powers of surveillance over the American public as a means of policies against terrorism. He ignored these and instead went ahead and secretly, on his own, ordered the National Security Agency to start undertaking illegal searches and surveillance of the American public. This is not subject to any form of congressional oversight, judicial oversight. It is a clear and open violation of Article 4 against illegal searches and seizures of the Constitution. Yet it goes on and on and on, and the American public, in its wisdom, elected the opposition party last November, but the very first thing that the leader of the opposition party, Speaker Pelosi, says is that impeachment is off the table. Well, what I'm saying in my book, if impeachment is off the table, it may well be that democracy is off the table, too.
Yeah, I think she should be impeached herself.
Well, I wonder what that is to say. Our Constitution provides a legitimate, well-understood device for getting rid of unsatisfactory political leaders.
Yeah.
It's hard to think of they have to be charged with high crimes and misdemeanors. It's hard to think of higher crimes than going to war based on false intelligence estimate that the authors and the president knew, as they put it into effect, was dishonest.
Right.
There's a high crime and a misdemeanor. Constitution does not authorize the president to carry out searches and seizures without some form of judicial oversight.
Yeah, I mean, if that doesn't warrant impeachment, what in the world does?
Yeah.
We got to go to a short break here. Stick with us, folks. We'll be right back with Chalmers Johnston. Johnson. Interesting stuff. Thank you.
Stand up and be counted. Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist Bush's impending unjust attack against Iran. George W. Bush lied to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iraq. Now he is lying to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iran. The Catholic and Protestant clergy have failed miserably to come out publicly against the upcoming unjust attack of Iran. Therefore, the lay Catholics and Protestants should demand of their respective clergies to take a righteous public stand against this upcoming Iranian unjust war. Each one of us will render to God a strict account of what each of us did to stop these diabolical tyrants, like George W. Bush, who, as roaring lions, go about the world seeking whom to murder. For additional facts concerning this upcoming Iranian unjust war, order the one-hour lecture by Father John Martinez entitled Stand Up and Be Counted. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on the web banner for more information and ordering.
Eating a well-balanced diet filled with whole foods is sometimes hard to achieve, so supplementation can be beneficial. But WholeFoodToday.com believes that if you want to supplement, you should be doing so with products made from complex and natural whole foods, which the body can recognize and utilize as food, rather than with synthetic formulas of isolated vitamins made in chemical factories. Whole Food Today is dedicated to bringing you the finest health products at an incredible value. Nutrient formulas for men and women, super green food formulas made from over 30 vegetables, legumes, sprouts, immunity health formulas, coconut oil, krill oil, and many other products made 100% naturally. Visit us today at www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. That's www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. Whole Food Today offers free shipping to all orders anywhere in the continental U.S. Whole Food Today, empowering people to attain and maintain extraordinary health.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Okay, welcome back to Truth Hurts Radio. It's your host, Charlie Giuliani. We have Chalmers Johnson here as our guest. I'm curious, Mr. Johnson, do you have academic freedom to express these opinions in your courses you teach? Or?
Well, I'm retired.
Oh, you are retired.
That's one of the
things
that gives me some freedom.
I've
taught most of my life at the University of California, but I have now been retired for quite a few years. I'm a professionally a specialist in East Asian politics in China, Japan, the two Koreas. But starting at the turn of the century, I began to take an interest in the new foreign policy problems that I believe were left over from the previous century, from the 20th century. And this led to the book published before 9/11 called Blowback, which was well-received but not particularly popular until after 9/11, when the term blowback entered the vocabulary and the book became a bestseller. Mm-hmm. I then went on to write another book called The Sorrows of Empire that was published in 2004 that was primarily devoted to detailing the American global empire of military bases. That's 737 of them right now by official count in other people's countries, and they're fantastically expensive. They do not contribute to our security in one iota. An intelligent country would get rid of at least 700 of them, but we don't do that because of huge vested interests increasing all the time in the military as a way of life. rather than the way of defending the country.
It's disgusting, isn't it? You look at the economy, the way it's dwindling. People are starving. You know, they're working 60, 70 hours a week in many cases, husband and wife, you know.
Right.
And they're not getting by.
We're not.
And then you see all this money being shipped over there, overseas.
At least, we've lost at least 3 million manufacturing jobs since George Bush became president. It looks like we're heading toward 10 million. A country that loses its manufacturing base, I don't care what you say, you're not a superpower anymore. You're not any kind of a power. About, you know, we're getting down to the point where about all we really do manufacture in this country, which we do, we are easily the world's largest producer of weapons and munitions. That's what we're becoming known for. It's and it's slowly eroding terribly.
It's astonishing, isn't it? What they're doing, they're not even doing it on behalf of, quote, America. It's obvious they're tearing us apart as much as any other country.
Yes.
I mean, it's by design.
Well, whether it's by design or not, it assuredly is tearing us apart. That is to say, we now know after 9/11 that the Department of Defense doesn't do defense. We've had to create an entire new department, Homeland Security, concerned actually with defense. And that the other represents vested interests. It's warfare in outer space, missile defenses that don't work. Right now the military is agitated over creating a new regional command, this one called the Africa Command. Well, of all the things we don't need, it's a separate command for Africa. Even if we did need to devote greater attention to African affairs, the Department of Defense is not the place to do it. They're not trained to do it. They don't understand it. We are not going to improve our image in Africa by sending them a lot of 18 to 24-year-old, young, heavily armed men who don't know where they are, don't speak the language, and are also often trained through imperialist doctrine into what amounts to virtual racism.
They can play Nintendo good, though.
Yes, exactly.
You know, we really should change it to Department of Offense, shouldn't we? I mean, isn't it pretty obvious by now?
Well, that we used to call it the War Department, and that was a better name.
They wanted to get a little facelift. I read an article just this past week. The Pentagon hired a CBS reporter to give them a facelift, you know, to present a better side. I mean, they're desperate to. They know that people are waking up and catching on to what's happening here.
Well, I think they are. I think there are some signs, definitely. I mean, this is the new book, Nemesis, is the third of my trilogy on American imperialism and militarism. I've gotten a more favorable reaction to it so far than to the first two books. I'm not saying it's a better book. I think it's a good book, obviously. But I think what this means is the public is scared to death, that they know we are. We're getting, at times, close to bankruptcy. We, after all, are easily the world's largest net debtor nation. We're spending more on the military establishment now than all other militaries on Earth combined.
Yeah.
I live in the 50th District of California. We just recently sent our congressman, Randy Duke Cunningham, to a federal prison for 8.5 years for taking the largest number of bribes in the history of the Congress, all from defense contractors. But one of the things that appalled me, I had written an op-ed in the L.A. Times a few years ago before Cunningham was found out, simply pointing out that he was owned lock, stock, and barrel by the military-industrial complex in terms of his filings with the Federal Election Commission. I was surprised that I got a fair number of letters from people in central Los Angeles saying, God, I wish you were my congressman. I could use a good job. I wouldn't mind making cluster bombs and dropping them on Lebanese children. That's what we do in this country.
It's really sad, isn't it, the kind of mentality. We're going for another break. Stick with us, folks. We'll be right back with Chalmers Johnson.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49. Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net. With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. Sure, you've got a mortgage and credit cards. Your debt creation is probably the smartest thing you've ever done. How would it be to find $75,000, $150,000, $200,000 or more you never knew you had? Now the task force has strategies to make these debts into virtual savings accounts. Ben Franklin said, a penny saved is a penny earned. By doing nothing more than you're doing right now, because you've used your credit, the right strategies can make the debt part of your financial life the smartest thing you've ever done. Oh, by the way, your strategies cost you nothing out of pocket. Go ahead and check out the debt elimination scams if you'd like to. You wouldn't take money from a loan shark, so you may not want to give your money to a debt shark. For an understanding of what a financial genius you truly are, call 800-409-5633. On the web, mydebtfreepath.com. 800-409-5633.
Radio, your host Charlie Giuliani, joined by Chalmers Johnson. Mr. Johnson, you mentioned 9/11 as an instance of blowback.
Yes,
and there's no question that if everything played out the way that we've been told, that we certainly have been instigating a lot of trouble in the Middle East, and Washington at least. I won't say we asked for it because we didn't approve of what, but Washington asked for it. But I got to ask you, would you rule out the possibility of 9/11 having been something that the military-industrial complex orchestrated themselves? I'm sure you heard of Operation Northwoods.
Yes.
They've had this kind of mentality for decades, and certainly they've been the one to benefit more than the Taliban or Al-Qaeda or Afghanistan,
It's a widespread point of view. We know that. It's been discussed now in endless detail. There are very sophisticated DVDs and books out now about a lot of unexplained things about how these two towers fell down, what kind of impact they had. At the same time, I have to say that the evidence is overwhelming that the towers were hit by hijacked airliners, that the hijackers were Saudi Arabian citizens associated with Osama bin Laden's Al-Qaeda, this was a pattern that has, we had this interesting argument on the first Republican debate recently on Fox News, in which Rudy Giuliani challenged Congressman Paul from the 14th District of Texas when Paul said that there was, after all, a considerable history leading up to 9/11, and that this
and ignored one at that. Yeah, sure.
Giuliani then tries to pretend that no, he'd never heard of any of these things, didn't believe it, and things of that sort. Whereas the truth of the matter is, Osama bin Laden was our ally in the Afghan resistance against the Soviet Union. He was a pious young Saudi from a rich Saudi Arabian family. His father certainly approved of what he was doing and supported him in doing it.
CIA asset.
We just dumped him after the Soviet Union withdrew in 1988 from Afghanistan, allowed Afghanistan to collapse into one of the most horrendous civil wars of modern times, in which the truth of the matter is, at the end, any human being would have welcomed a victory by the Taliban or anybody who could have stopped the chaos. It's in that context that bin Laden had attacked the World Trade Center once in 1993. He'd attacked our Air Force barracks in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia in 1995. He attacked our embassies in Kenya and Tanzania in 1998. He attacked the USS Cole in Aden Harbor with a considerable loss of life in the year 2000. To pretend that there was that this came out of the blue, that and like the president to go around asking why do they hate us, is simply absurd and should be grounds to disqualify a politician.
I had to laugh when Bush told Congress about 2 weeks after 9/11. He said the terrorists who attacked us did so because they hate our freedoms.
Well,
but then
exactly.
He turns around and passes the Patriot Act.
I mean, it's just insane. Moreover, bin Laden was utterly candid in numerous statements that he issued right after 9/11 in every newspaper on earth, in which he said our reasons for the attack were three. And I'm not saying that I agree with these things. At the same time, they are all rational causes of war, not abstract a clash of civilizations disliking our freedoms or our way of life or anything else. He said that we've attacked you because of the placing of American troops in Saudi Arabia after the first Gulf War, that we did not need American infidels to defend the House of Fahd, and we should have done it ourselves. Secondly, he said, you Americans will never know peace so long as you continue to support Zionist aggression against the Palestinians. And third, he said, we hold you responsible, as it turns out accurately, for something like about a half million childhood deaths in Iraq in the 1990s. That is,
500,000.
The administration, because of the fiercest sanctions ever imposed on anybody. Now, it's in that context that 9/11 occurs. We knew he was coming. If we didn't know it, then we should have held the CIA and the Bush administration responsible for not paying attention. Certainly, we know that in the last years of the Clinton administration, the government devoted huge amounts of time to trying to run down Osama bin Laden to assassinate him, actually. And we tried this by firing cruise missiles into Afghanistan. Several of them went off course into Pakistan at the time of the attacks on our embassies in East Africa. So it's in this context that it seems to me we don't need an explanation that says Dick Cheney and a bunch of crazy Air Force officers staged all of this because it served their interests. There is no question that it did serve their interests.
Yeah.
It is certainly possible that they suspected something like this was coming and let it come rather than head it off.
Oh, yeah, that's definitely a strong case for that. Well, yeah. What's so amazing is, like you said, is there's been no, regardless what how you view this, you have to see incredible negligence here. And nothing was done. Nobody was fired. Nobody was reprimanded.
Well, exactly.
They weren't slapped on the wrist. In fact, a lot of them got promotions and advancements. And
right.
I mean.
And the result was that our government was just literally hijacked by domestic neoconservative ideologues, by the exiles from Iraq around Ahmed Jalabi, the Israeli lobby, the military-industrial complex, warmongers in the automotive and petroleum industries, and they ran with it. It turns out to have been a tragic development in which our political system failed us, and unfortunately, still no one has been held responsible.
Yeah, and you know, again,
but I don't think I have to say no. I think there really is no doubt about who did this, why they did it, that they had a very well established record of intense dislike of us, believing that they had cooperated with us in the biggest clandestine operation the CIA ever carried out. That is the arming.
I'll tell you, one of the reasons why I've been really suspicious is the lack of evidence of the actual hijack. I mean, sure, they've named these hijackers.
Yes.
What I found is that, I'm sure you're aware, there were numerous reports, BBC was one, Guardian, yes. LA Times, of still living hijackers, some of these named hijackers still alive. And I still, to this day, have failed to find any pictures that have ever been released from Logan or
yes.
Newark of you know, the surveillance cameras.
Well, there are a lot of very, very suspicious developments here, but I still think as a working hypothesis, as one tries to uncover and examine this history and to penetrate the layers of secrecy that are now associated with the executive branch of our government, the most plausible explanation is a retaliatory, that is, blowback, retaliation for our activities abroad carried out by the CIA. I remember on 9/11 talking with my publisher in New York after we knew it was a terrorist incident, but we didn't yet know who had done it.
Had blowback come out? It did come out just before that, right?
Yes, it was published in the year 2000.
Ah.
And it sort of became a bestseller on 9/11.
We
were sitting around talking about, well, let's take the date, September 11th. It's the best-known date in Latin America. That's the date the CIA overthrew Salvador Allende in Chile.
Yep.
And brought to power probably the most odious dictator of any side in the Cold War, Augusto Pinochet. Maybe it was a Chilean. Maybe it was people from the cone of South American countries that, under Operation Condor, had produced military governments and remarkable repression and torture of trade union leaders and things of this sort. So bad that today Henry Kissinger dare not ever land in one of these countries. He'd be arrested at once. Things of that sort. We speculated it could have been Greeks, that there's probably the most anti-American democracy on earth today is Greece, that still has never forgotten our installation in the late 60s and early 70s of the Greek colonels, an extremely odious regime. We have overthrown two governments in Indonesia, virtually every country in East Asia at one time or another has had a military government installed by the CIA or the American military. So that it goes around the world that we have ample full details of President Eisenhower ordering the CIA to kill the new president of a recently freed Congo, Patrice Lumumba, and 2 weeks later they did so. After a while you would ask, why do they hate us? You might more easily start asking, who is it on earth that doesn't hate us? Often with good reason.
Yeah.
So that it's in that context that I think once you put 9/11 in context, we don't need a conspiratorial explanation of some shadowy American militarist, even granting that they would be capable of thinking of such a thing.
If we stopped engaging in this rape and pillage, slash and burn mentality, you know, even if they did do it, they wouldn't have the impetus to do it anymore.
Right.
Know what I mean?
Exactly. I mean, I think that's the point, that it is to start. So there is so much of this these days about how the whole thing was staged in the desert outside Nellis Air Force Base and photographed and this, that, and the other thing. I think this is ignorant. That it refuses to see America in context, what it stood for in the world, the craziness associated with the end of the Cold War when we went around almost as if we had gone mad, talking about how we had won the Cold War. Well, nobody won the Cold War. They lost it first because they were always poorer than we are, but both countries lost the Cold War, that we were now a new Rome athwart the world, that we could engage in preventive war. That's, after all, what the Japanese tried to do to us in December 1941.
Well, we become the evil empire that we're supposedly fighting, you know?
Exactly. I mean, that is, and that we, the Air Force spoke of full spectrum dominance, and that we no longer needed international law or the United Nations, or for that matter, even things that we, had created, like the Geneva Conventions on the humane treatment of prisoners of war and of civilians in wartime and things of this sort. It's this kind of, that's why I call my new book Nemesis. Nemesis was the ancient Greek goddess of retribution, of vengeance, for hubris, for overweening pride and arrogance and the belief that you could violate the right order of things and get away with it. We began to succumb to that after the collapse of the Soviet Union in 1991.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, you know, all the classic symptoms are here. As a matter of fact, the great enemy of communism that we profess to be fighting against, you know, it's come to roost here, with a, I guess, mixed in with a little fascism and a little socialism. And,
but well, and that's, that is the real danger, is that today we may be just on the cusp of going in the same direction as our former superpower partner, the USSR. That is, the empires succumb to imperial overstretch, to bankruptcy, to domestic economic rigidity and ideological straitjackets, inability to reform. And they collapse with extreme rapidity. I mean, if we were having this conversation in, say, 1985, and I had said to you, 5 years from now, the Soviet Union won't exist anymore, you'd have probably thought, this is not a very reliable commentator. That's an extreme statement if I ever heard it. Well, it's gone. Russia is a much smaller place than the former USSR was. It went through unbelievable upheaval in the 1990s in extricating itself from the Leninist world. It's nowhere written that we are immune to that sort of thing, particularly when we are today literally toying with bankruptcy in the tax cuts for everybody making over $200,000 a year, that kind of thing. The world's largest current account deficits, that is, trade deficits, ever recorded in economic history, depended upon capital inflows to finance this from China and Japan. We know full well right now that if tonight Saudi Arabia decided that it wanted to be paid for its oil in euros instead of dollars, the United States ends right then and there. The dollar becomes worthless. It's the only backing left for the dollar. It's an old agreement that goes back to Franklin Roosevelt and Ibn Saud during World War II, when the Saudis agreed to finance international oil transactions in dollars. There's no reason to do it anymore. The euro is a much more valuable currency, but they do it out of inertia and loyalty to the United States. And yet I see that the House of Representatives yesterday just voted to cut off all aid to Saudi Arabia. I don't think that Saudi Arabia needs aid, but I have to admit I don't understand why we go around insulting our creditors.
Yeah. It's crazy. It's just nothing they do makes any sense.
Right.
Not from a reasonable common sense standpoint, but to them, you know, I guess it does make sense to them. But they're not interested in what, you know, serves this country's interests. So.
Well, precisely. I think that is the problem. The war in Iraq proves to be just, you know, one of the most disastrously long-running mistakes the country has ever made. We're close to ruining the U.S. Army. We have an army in an expeditionary force of 165,000 troops, heavily armed, as lavishly supported as any army you can find, is being fought to a standstill by maybe 20,000 insurgents who seem to be utterly geniuses at making improvised bombs. I would have thought that if our Armed Services Committee in the Senate was any good, we'd have had extensive hearings on what's going on in our military. Why is it unable to perform?
I see this as a continuation of stuff that's gone on in the past. You know, I'm sure you know back in Korea, in Vietnam,
yes,
policies were implemented that were designed to prolong the thing and cause more casualties.
Right.
And, you know, it looks like the same thing's going on here. They're not interested in, they don't actually want the war to stop, apparently.
Well,
and it doesn't matter how many casualties.
Yes. That's what Eisenhower warned us against in his farewell address in 1961. When he invented the term military-industrial complex, and that's what I'm getting at in my latest study, is to go back to the first warning we ever received, and probably the most important. We used to read it at every opening session of Congress, namely George Washington's farewell address, in which he famously said, the enemy of liberty is standing armies, and it's the particular enemy of Republican liberty, by which he meant, once you get beyond raising armies as an obligation of citizenship in times of emergency to defend the country and get into long service, 20 years, standing armies, then you destroy the balance of power on which our liberties rest. You create the imperial presidency, you move power to Washington, D.C. from the states, and you get a military-industrial complex.
Yeah. Okay, folks, short break. We'll be right back with one more segment with Chalmers Johnson. Stick with us.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Hey, welcome back to Truth Hurts Radio. Got a few more minutes left here with our guest, Chalmers Johnson. Anyone's interested in reading his books, of course, you can go to Amazon or Barnes & Noble, whichever, and just type in his name, Chalmers, C-H-A-L-M-E-R-S, Johnson, and you'll see his trilogy come up, dealing with what we're talking about here, the American Empire. Did you also have a website you wanted to direct folks to, Mr. Johnson?
Well, I don't think it's necessary. Probably the American Empire Project, sponsored by Metropolitan Books. It's a library of books that we've been working on concerning various aspects of American imperialism, which what we're trying to do is to get this subject discussed. I mean, there is an alternative to the end of of the Republic that I go into in some detail in Nemesis. It's what the British did after World War II. Get rid of the empire. If you are a domestic democracy and you inadvertently become an empire, as we have, and you then determine to keep that empire, you're going to lose your domestic democracy. The British understood this at the end of World War II. They realized that they could, having just defeated Nazism, not continue to use the Nazi methods associated with imperialism in order to maintain their hegemony over huge swaths of the earth, including India. And they made the critical decision to give up the empire, that what good is it to us? We don't need it. I believe that's what we should be discussing in this country today. Our media hardly ever even broaches the subject. They won't touch it. It's taboo that we...
Yeah, well, of course, they're owned by the same military-industrial complex.
Yeah, really. Precisely. Exactly.
You know, in the last couple minutes we have, I wanted to have you elaborate a little bit on the Israel factor. You mentioned that earlier, and that, of course, is a major problem, that, you know, the total disproportionate favoritism of Israel over any other Arab nation, of course, has created a lot of problems, and unfortunately it's going to continue to do so unless this policy turns around. And you don't hear much about that in the media either, do you?
Well, you don't, and what makes it particularly odd, it seems to me, is that in our abject followership of anything that the Israelis might, or the Israeli military might want to do, we've not served Israel's interests. It's almost impossible to imagine how the war in Iraq has made Israel anything other than much less secure, that you have created now a Shia empire from Iran through Lebanon, that it was perfectly obvious what was going to happen if you overthrew a dictatorship in Iraq that was essentially a Sunni minority government. And once you had eliminated Saddam Hussein, the majority Shia population would come to power. We're told that President Bush and Vice President Cheney took 2 years after the invasion of Iraq to even discover the fundamental difference between Shia and Sunni Islam, which is a little bit like the differences between Catholicism and Protestantism in Christianity. It's having our foreign policy made by such rank amateurs. You can't help but say we deserve what's going to happen to us.
So much for shock and awe, huh? Looks like they got shocked and awed.
Yes, exactly. But that is to say, it doesn't make sense. We'd have done the Israelis a much bigger favor if, in fact, we had been even-handed, a genuine mediator between this intractable problem of Jewish settlers and the indigenous Palestinian population. If we had truly tried to work out ways in which both sides profited, instead we've made this awful debacle we have today.
Totally out of balance, I agree. Well, thank you, sir, for coming on. Maybe we'll have you on again sometime.
I very much appreciate the invitation. Thank you.
You bet. Stick with us, folks. We'll be right back after the break.
A message for all.